News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Here we go, hour three of Mobile Mornings at 8:07. With clear skies, weather-wise, we're in good shape. We've got parades tonight and pretty much right on through Mardi Gras Day, in fact, Tuesday, except for Wednesday, and that's there in case any foul weather fouls things up. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen, Dalton. No,
it's looking nice. Yeah. Saturday night, you know, the MOTs might be dealing with a bit of rain, but I think it might move in later than the parade. Parade set to start at 5:45 Saturday night, but you also have parades rolling in Orange Beach and Loxley and Daphne, too. So, yeah, we've made it to that time of year. And tonight you have the Order of Venus, Miracle on the Bay, and Order of Many Faces rolling starting at 6:30 on Route A downtown. Reminder, we have the full schedule of parades up on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Click the Moon Pie Minute tab at the top. We have all of the Moon Pie Minutes there for you to listen to as well. And then we'll be rolling on Saturday, earlier in the day. We'll rolling at noon with the crew of St. Jude. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 van and the Marine float with many members of FM Talk 106.5 on that, following the closely behind the Mobile Command Center there with the FM Talk stickers on it. And that'll be part of the floral parade on Saturday, so we'd love to see y'all out there.
Johnny Hatcher, a member of the Mobile County Public School Board, joins us in studio now. We'll get around to a few issues. Johnny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dan. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good to see you.
Yeah, real good to see you, Johnny. And, of course, plenty to discuss with you. And our lead story this morning had to do with a member of the Trump administration coming to town, the Education Secretary, Linda McMahon. And she brought some friends, too. Bruce Pearl, certainly a big name in our state and beyond. But he was coming as part of this History Rocks tour, and they're not making a ton of stops in every state. I guess this was their 13th on their countrywide tour.
50-state tour,
and this was their only Alabama appearance. But instead of going to Murphy High School on Friday, they visited Satsuma because of a protest at Murphy.
Yes. Well, you know, we had been contacted by them well in advance. 2 weeks out, I get contacted by the secretary's coordinator, and she told me she was having a tough time getting anybody to call her back, and already had everything set up. It was the first I'd heard about it.
She was having a tough time in Mobile
with Murphy.
Okay.
And hadn't heard anything back from anybody and wanted to know, is there anything I could do? Well, I said, absolutely. I says, I thought it was a wonderful thing. She explained it to me, and I thought, man, this is phenomenal. This is a great thing for Mobile. We're the only system in the state who got picked for this. This is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we're not going to miss this opportunity. So I called the superintendent. He agreed. He said, there is no way I'm going to tell the Secretary of Education no.
He said, that's probably a good political move by the school superintendent in a city like Mobile. Like, don't mess with someone of that stature with the
purse strings.
Yeah, right.
You don't throw rocks at people in towers. So what happened is he got it together and everything was going fine. As far as I knew, I let it go. Once I turned it over to him, he told me that he was taking care of it. Everything was fine. Now, the day before, I get a text from him asking me, in 30 minutes, do I have time for a phone conversation? I said, absolutely. He called me. We spoke. And he says, look, I've just got to call and tell you about what's going on and, you know, why we're going to have to reschedule this event. And I says, okay, well, what's going on? He said, well, a lot of the teachers and students at the school are going to protest.
Protest the appearance of someone in the Trump administration.
Yes. And I said, well, them teachers better not, because our policy, they'll lose their job. And he said he agreed. But, you know, the students, you really can't do anything about that. But my thing is those students didn't come up with this on their own.
It didn't seem like that would have been an idea hatched by the students at Murphy High School. It seems like there would have been some sort of influence aside from them, an adult influence would be my guess.
It absolutely was. You're not going to make me believe any different. So when he told me this, he says, and besides that, it's a political event. And I said, well, okay, I understand that it's a political event. Well, you know, you can tell me things like this, and you're not going to get pushback from me. But I am going to do my due diligence, and I am going to vet it myself. And I did. I tried to call the superintendent back. I wasn't able to reach him. So he and I had no more contact about this. And so I called back Summer, who was the secretary's coordinator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I spoke to her, she told me that there is going to be no rescheduling.
Mm.
And I said, Summer, I really hate this. I apologize. She said, she's on a plane here now, and this is really bad. And I says, I do agree, and I apologize. Is there anything I can do to help? And after probably a good 15 minutes of conversation, it was a real rough conversation, too. A lot of apologizing on my part.
Sure.
She said that if I could find them another venue, they would be more than happy to come, meaning another school system.
Yeah,
because our school system was not going to have it. I would have took it at my school in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I would have took it at Baker. I'd have took it at Bryant. I'd have took it at Theodore. I'd have took it at any one of my feeder schools. But
MTPSS was out after?
They was out because they wanted to reschedule. And you can't reschedule something like that at the 11th hour and not think you're not going to piss somebody off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. So I called her. I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to leave a bad taste in her mouth, because if it does, it could potentially affect me because I'm part of the school system. So I tell you what I'll do. Let me call my very good friend Mark Barlow, the mayor of Satsuma. Let me see what I can get him to do with his system.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately called his superintendent, Dana. Dana then in turn, immediately jumped on it, said, absolutely, there's no way we're going to miss this opportunity. They had 14 hours to get ready. 14 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We had almost a month.
Yep.
So 2 weeks when I heard of it, it was 2 weeks. So Dana and them go out there. They put on this wonderful performance. They did an outstanding job. Bruce Pearl came. Mm-hmm. The kids ate that up. They loved Miss McMahon. Let me tell you something. A lot of people, what is it, cast typing, I think they call that.
Mm-hmm. Typecasting, yeah.
Typecasting. That's what happened to her. People look at her and look at her like she's just some sort of wrestling performer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's much more than that. That's a very savvy, smart woman. And I'm going to tell you something. She is gracious, because when I spoke with her and was very apologetic for everything that happened, She was so kind, so kind.
Can I read a quote from her?
Sure.
This is what
McMahon.
Yeah, Linda McMahon, right? First name.
Mm-hmm.
And she does have the wrestling background, obviously. The name
sure.
is McMahon. I think there is a misunderstanding of what we're trying to do here. So again, her tone, if you read the tone, it sounds like she was like you say, pretty gracious about the whole thing.
She said, yes.
These kids like the civics trivia. That's what it was all about, was civics trivia. And she said going from place to place and doing it has been a big hit. So obviously they had to reschedule. I'm wondering, along the way, have they run into this problem ahead of time? We'll get to the protest, but have they run into this anywhere else?
Yes, sir. They was in Chicago the day before. They were in Chicago and done this. And let me tell you something. They had protesters out there. But she still went.
Mm.
She is, let me tell you something, that is one strong woman. She's determined, and I'm going to tell you something, she cares about our children's education across the country. People have demonized her, some people, not all, but I'll tell you, she is phenomenal, and I'm blessed to have been able to meet her. This is one of the people that, you know, I tell you what, don't take my word for it. Take Sheriff Paul Birch's word. Ask him how it went that day. Ask him about the participation. Ask him how the ceiling tiles were about to erupt because them kids were so loud.
Mm.
They loved it. Ask former Mayor Sandy Stimson, who sat there with us. Ask, you know, the mayor of Satsuma. You know what? Better than that, ask Bruce Pearl. Mm-hmm. He was very impressed.
Yeah, he was, to me, I mean, all props to Linda McMahon, and certainly she has the title. But if you're a kid sitting in there at the, you get called
Pearl.
Out of class to go to the gym, you know, we all know what that was like. They say, oh, by the way, Bruce Pearl is here. I have a feeling most kids probably have at least heard of Bruce Pearl and were mm-hmm. fired up to see him out there. And it really, I think, stinks for these students at Murphy, the ones who aren't political. And I think back to when I was a kid, you know, and we all had visitors that would come in.
Essentially, politics did play a role in this. It disrupted them from getting something very valuable. Mm-hmm. So instead of not letting it be a political thing, essentially Mobile County Public Schools allowed it to be a political thing.
And allowed influence, it sounds like, from outside influencers.
Absolutely.
These same people that you see, you know, a couple dozen maybe turn out downtown Mobile for some of these protests. We're talking with Johnny Hatcher with the Mobile County School Board about this moving, this event with the education secretary from Murphy. She ends up going to Satsuma High School on Friday instead. And, you know, as far as the partisan politics of this, and I guess Shamari figures, according to the story from John Sharp, Congressman figures, had some things to say about this America 250, the partisan makeup of it. I don't know his exact quote from it.
I didn't see him there.
He wasn't there, I guess.
No.
But, you know, who was it? Do we know who actually called off the visit? Was it someone at Murphy, or did they just get the bad vibes and decide that they'd rather go somewhere else in the town? Or how they, well, you know, who said, we'd rather not come here?
Mobile County Public School System.
Okay.
They wanted to reschedule. Rescheduling was not an option. Mm-hmm. We had plenty of time to get ready and organize. Let me tell you something. We had a basketball game where some misfortunate events occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Safety concerns. The next game at the same location, same type game at the same location, I attended with my mother, my brother, my sister-in-law, and my nephew who played. Let me tell you something. We had no fear, because we took the necessary precautions. Andy Gatewood does a tremendous job for us in security. He's one of the best. The guy is, he is to be praised for what he does for us. Let me tell you something. We could have done the same thing here. Now, let me tell you, they did have cops and everything out there. Everybody saw it. They seen the cops and kept security there. There was no reason why we still could not have done the event at Murphy.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. Mark Barlow was talking to the security details, Mayor Satsuma. He told them, he says, you know what? He says, I sure hope them protesters don't come here. We don't have but 15-man police department. And that's not enough to keep all these people around here off them protesters.
Yeah, so that's interesting that he put it that way.
And I want to ask you, too, you mentioned earlier that there are rules, I guess, against protesting, leaving class to protest.
Yes.
And 1819 News says there were about a dozen students out there. And then in the words of April Marie Fogle with 1819, I think she said a couple of dozen serial protesters from the group responsible for the No Kings and anti-ICE protests. So do you know if these other protesters that weren't students, were they on campus joining in on this protest?
No.
And will there be any repercussions for the students or teachers who were involved who left class to protest something that didn't even show
if
up on their doorstep?
If there's a teacher in there, we have policy, and it will be followed. If it's not followed, you'll be hearing me back in here raising Cain. Let me tell you something. The rules are not for thee, but not me. They're for everybody.
Maura Mandyke, she's the organizer with Invisible Mobile. She coordinated the student-led protest at Murphy, it says here in this story anyway.
So she says.
So she says, but she also, what she does say is she was talking about the virtue of the protesting. Protest is a significant part of American history. These young people see that there are things happening in our country right now that gravely concerned them. She said approximately 96 people participated in the protest that included students in a morning walkout. So how accurate that is, I don't know.
Yeah, and also, you know, we were talking off the air. We've had members of administrations from both Democrats and Republicans come to town, not always to schools, but like Pete Buttigieg, I think you were mentioning.
Absolutely.
And Mayor Stimson had him in.
I assure you, him and Mayor Stimson are not aligned. Not at all. Nor am I aligned with him. But let me tell you something. I respect his position. He was the Secretary of Transportation.
That's right.
Had I been involved in that, I would have treated him with the utmost respect. I would have went out of my way to show him Southern hospitality. Because let me tell you something. That money he sits, you know, the position he's in sits on a lot of money, too.
Mm-hmm.
We need a lot of money for a bridge.
Here
we
do.
Let me tell you something. You don't throw rocks at people in towers.
So we'll get more into this. I'm really interested in more Mandyke's, the organization, Invisible Mobile, and what role they played in all this. because, again, she's talking about protests as if it is a virtue because she's somebody who organizes protests. Mm-hmm. She sees it her way. Others may see it a different way.
Yeah, and what kind of role they played. We'll get to more of this after
more
the break
of a
right here.
More rouser in a race baiter, in my opinion.
Got it.
251-343-0106. If you have any questions for Johnny Hatcher, we have some texts we want to get to as well on the other side of this.
It is 822 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, and back with you. Let us know what you're thinking on the text line. As Dalton said, we'll be happy to read those.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
826 to the text line, 251-343-0106.
Yeah, so Pete texting in about this, and we're talking with Johnny Hatcher with the Mobile County School Board. Says the Murphy High School principal should be fired for not telling the kids you're having an unexcused absence if you don't get back to class and get off the street with this protest during school hours. I'm not exactly sure what that conversation, if there has been one, has been like between the principal and the students.
Well, I was fixing to say, I mean, Pete probably... Evidently, he's got more insight than we do, or he's just assuming. I don't know that he didn't tell them that. I don't know how he handled the situation at all. It's not one of my schools, so I don't go over and interact with the principals over there.
Texter here. This is Gulf Coast Girl. Says, teens can be very aware and passionately proactive. Right or wrong, with media coverage and the mood in the country, students might have initiated the Murphy protest. Sounds like it was their loss. Well, it sounds like there were more, according to the stories I've read, more outside protesters in attendance than students.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and as far as students being passionately, you know, organically moved by something, images, and it sounds a lot more like a grown-up thing than a student thing for them to see that a member of the Trump cabinet's coming, therefore they were just ignited, like, we're not going to have this at our school. That doesn't seem normal.
It's not plausible.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. These children missed out on a great opportunity to showcase their skills and achievements and show off their school and their pride. They had such a tremendous opportunity, and it was ripped out from under them by some very mean-spirited and politically motivated adults.
And someone on the text line, Dalton, you may see before I can get back to it, they're talking about the school board, but the school board wasn't involved in any, there was no vote or anything like that with any of this, right?
No, it was never brought up for a vote,
right.
Never.
Right, this was a independent move by
the superintendent did contact me, and I'm assuming he contacted all the other school board commissioners as well, but he told me it was a very political deal. Well, I was like, okay, but then I looked into it and did my vetting and found out it was, and I tried to contact him.
The presentation was political.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he says, you know, it was motivated by Turning Point, and that's cause for some concern. But let me just tell you this. What I saw had nothing to do with Turning Point, had nothing to do with any political affiliation whatsoever.
Even Dr. Mackey said that. Dalton, you mentioned that.
Yeah, and he's the overall superintendent of the state. Johnny, in your dealings with him, I don't know. To me, he doesn't come off as an extremely conservative person, Mackey.
We both enjoy each other's company. I like him a lot. He's a hoot to be around. You know, once you get to know him, he's a really good guy. Do I agree with everything he does? No. He don't agree with everything I do. But we can both agree that this was a wonderful event, and thank God we was able to go ahead and keep it in at least Mobile County.
Yeah, well, you were the guy there that got Satsuma involved, so the whole thing wouldn't completely blow up in this area's face.
Yeah,
I highly doubt she would have come back to Alabama, and if she would have, she definitely wasn't coming to Mobile.
Well, Johnny, we really appreciate you coming in with us and talking us through how all of this went down last week, and I know our listeners really appreciate it as well. We're going to get to some more of their texts after the break, but thanks for coming in again, and you're always picking up the phone anytime we need you in, so I'm sure it won't be long.
And always I will do that. Let me just say this. You know, when I was on Sean's show, the last thing I said was talk about the great city councilman Josh Woods from District 6. I got to tell you, one of your best county commissioners out there today and is doing a hell of a job, and I really think the world of him is Randall Dewitt. Okay. Y'all need to get him in here.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
834 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Back to the text line here in a moment, 251-343-0106. Right now, though, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine, and a nice warm-up this week. We've got the warmer weather after weeks of cold weather, and it's a good time to get out to the lot at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. I get my golf clubs out. Yeah, we got a great selection of cars out here, man. I want to thank everybody for coming by this weekend. We had a good deal, a good weekend. Got a bunch of trades. We're going to have those out front. And all the rebates are basically stayed the same for this month. We still have 0% for Sierras, so and got plenty of Yukons here and coming in. So if you don't see it here, just give us a call, 251-476-4141, and you know, we pull invoices every day from General Motors, and they try to bring them to us as quick as they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why you have such a great selection. You're also buying vehicles from customers all the time, too, if they don't necessarily need or want to trade in, and it's really easy to get that done, too.
That's right. All you got to do is give us a call, give us the VIN number, the miles, talk to Gene, ask for Gene, or ask for Eddie Hicks. Like I said, give them the miles, a little description of the car, the VIN number, and they'll try to give you a price right over the telephone.
All right. That is easy. Hey, we appreciate your time, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Let's see. To the text line, 251-343-0106. And Sean in Baldwin County says, look no further than the superintendent. A thread girl, he set the ending of COVID to the week after the presidential election, hoping to inflict maximum stress on parents. This wasn't by accident. He knew what he wanted to accomplish.
Hmm.
That's anyway the opinion of
that's interesting, Sean
in Baldwin County.
I don't remember that timeline.
Neither do
as
I.
As crystal clear as that. James says, sounds like the protesters, and let me know if that's the right name, James. I'm thinking that that is your name, but you're under something else here. Sounds like the protesters were able to beat the school board and get them to change their mind. I don't agree with it, but this is a good example of how a protest can work. Yeah, well, somebody folded, right? And it sounds like the superintendent, or he received enough pressure from others to fold and say, hey, yeah, I mean, technically they didn't cancel, according to what board member Hatcher was saying there, but to reschedule when it sounds like the education secretary is either already on the plane or on the way down, or, you know, he kept calling it the 11th hour. I don't know when that call officially went out to them to reschedule this event to have the education secretary come down to Murphy, but you have to know that that's not going to happen. I mean, it's not like a local high school game that you can push back a couple weeks. They're just going to be there, or they aren't at the time that was set up there. But to your point there, you said it sounds like the protesters were able to get them to change their mind. That's how a protest can work. To me, it doesn't even really sound like the students were the ones pushing the charge. Now,
they may have been used like pawns, you know,
that's
ones
kind
who
of what
organized. That'd be my guess.
What I'm picturing is, imagine if the Tea Party, back when it was all the rage, right, and they were out and protesting, you know, but not at schools. But can you imagine if, say, the Obama education secretary, it was at Cardona, or I can't remember who it was set to visit a school in Mobile, and that very well may have happened. I don't know. Usually these are things that show up in the news, and you talk about it. Oh, how great. The education secretary was in town. That's really cool for the kids. And then you move on, and you forget about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many elected officials or administration officials we've seen come to our area or come to schools over the years. But can you imagine if the Tea Party were out and dragged some students out of school or convinced them to protest at the beginning of the day because an Obama official? That would have been a massive story, and people would have been so upset about it. But you have the same people that go out and do the No Kings and the anti-ICE, and they raise enough of a fuss just because it's a member of the Trump administration coming down that they keep these kids from seeing Bruce Pearl or having, you know, the education secretary herself come to your school, who, by the way, carries massive influence in where federal monies are directed. So it's just a total loss, and it's even worse if it was this outside group that caused them to make that change. Let's see. Damn Yankee says, this is not the first time MCPSS has fumbled communications and or a public relations event. Will any disciplinary action be taken on the superintendent?
I don't think so.
Not sure. And Squirrelverine, protests at schools could easily get out of hand. The people have heightened angry emotions. I guess that would be the main difference, I guess, because when I was in high school, and I wasn't at a massive high school, so it was a little bit of a smaller sample size, you could say. But even, you know, 11th, 12th grade, sure, you're more aware of national politics. And that certainly doesn't speak for everyone that's in 11th and 12th grade.
No.
But for me, I mean, you tell me education secretary is coming to school and I'd be like, who? Like, I don't know. Like, I know what that is, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you who it was. I wouldn't have been able to be mad or, you know, over the moon excited about it. You're just a kid at school, and it's a good moment to get out of class or whatever. But this, I guess the kids these days, certainly there are some that feel they have to have a take on all these national politics. And maybe that's something that's changed over the last 10, 15 years.
No, not in this case. You can clearly hear, and she's welcome to be a guest on our show, Maura Mandyke, the organizer with Indivisible Mobile, which they're involved in some of those protests that we've seen, right? She, and protest is a significant part of American history, and these young people see that. Okay, she's putting words into the students' mouths. You're not hearing the students say this. I don't think the students necessarily feel this. So when Mandyke watches the news, she loses her mind, I would guess, over some of the things she sees on the news, ICE-related and so forth and so on. And she's welcome to do that. But when she puts it on, is trying to convince me, I'll just go with me. Okay?
Yeah.
She's trying to convince me that the students organically came up with this and felt strongly themselves. She says that they are seeing things happening in our country right now that gravely concern them. Well, they gravely concern you.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, and that's fine. But I don't know that they were gravely concerning any of the students in Murphy High School in a way that would have ended up in as a protest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I question that. And again, feel free to call, come on the show.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, too. And there were students, I guess I saw some of the protest signs that said, like, we believe in due process. There may have been an ICE out sign or something like that. But again, this wasn't even like Greg Bovino coming to town. This wasn't Kristi Noem. You're talking about the education secretary who brought Bruce Pearl. So Michael says this wasn't a student-led initiative. This was the typical Midtown, nappy, invisible guys stirring up some kids. Squirrelverine says, I was well aware of politics in my youth. However, I realized some of what I thought about it was dumb. And I think back to that all the time. I mean, I wasn't over the moon political at all, certainly. And even in college, I remember going out and golfing with my dad. And I was hearing in college the same Obama talking points that the national media, everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Obama's the greatest. Here's why this is right. This is why the conservatives are always wrong. And so I would, you know, bring up those same exact arguments to my dad on the golf course.
He'd probably wrestle you down on the fourth fairway.
Just about. He'd be like, son, you have no idea what you're talking about. You know, you're not a business owner. You've never hired. You don't employ people. You haven't really had to, you know, I had jobs, certainly in high school and college, but I wasn't a working person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot you learn by just going through life. And kids are, they're allowed to have political opinions, but I really think that this was probably coming from somewhere else.
Well,
overall,
that, you know, when I see that quote, that to me, that tells me everything I need to know is that Mandyke is talking about the protests as, you know, it's an American thing. I get it. The Tea Party and the original Tea Party and all of that. But she's saying that these young people see that there are things happening in our country right now that gravely concern them. That doesn't sound like 11th graders' thoughts from Murphy High School. That sounds like Miss Mandyke's thoughts
being imposed on them. More or less.
In this case.
Pete says, the tiny, bitter, vocal minority ruins an opportunity for all because we have reckless public school leadership. Another reason to apply for the Choose Act. And Texter here says, and there was also a Mexican flag prominently being displayed amongst these small group of idiots. So keep the text coming, 251-343-0106.
Kids can be dumb. kids can be foolish. Kids can be, you know, look at what that dumb kid just did. We get it. From just about anything, from what it says on a T-shirt that is unacceptable in public to whatever. This does not sound like one of them dumbs that kids do. This to me is obviously was all generated from the adults that wanted to protest this mm-hmm. and not the kids themselves. There could have been a handful or one or two that they were easily in line, like, oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. But overall, that's not what's going through the minds of kids at Murphy or even at McGill mm-hmm. at this time.
And a vast majority of them, you know, just stayed in class, I guess, yeah. and didn't get to obviously go to any kind of special, you know, I'm sure they would have gotten an hour or something if the secretary and Bruce Pearl had come in. Your thoughts, 251-343-0106. Another prominent protest, I guess, happened last night. And, you know, just as a football fan, a fan of the NFL, I'm sitting back going, man, what have they done with my game? Because it is now such a political flashpoint year in and year out. And as someone who truly, and I've told you before, I don't like going to Super Bowl parties because I don't even invite anyone over for the Super Bowl because I like to watch the game.
Yeah.
I don't like it to be interrupted. I don't want people asking about, you know, what finger foods I have available for them.
I'm with you because yesterday I was, even though the game you could say was boring, but it was, I was thoroughly entertained by the beautiful sunshine that they had there. That was nice mm-hmm. to see. And a lot of the pregame talk some of it you could take or leave. I was excited to watch those two teams play. And Seattle was phenomenal yeah. on defense. So it was, I enjoyed myself all by my lonesome with yeah. my YouTube TV.
With your free trial.
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, it ended up not being the greatest game, but everything was about the halftime show, right, as far as politics are concerned. And you had the Kid Rock Turning Point halftime show for alternate viewing. I think that was on – I read that it would be on one – OAN, but I think most people probably tuned in on YouTube, and they peaked at like 6.1 million viewers or something like that. I didn't turn the channel over to that first off because, you know, I was just I have kids, so I had to get them ready for bed. We were right around that time, and also I was interested to see, you know, what the Bad Bunny thing would look like.
Yeah. So what was your impression of it? Because I hit the egg.
Well, I knowing nothing about Bad Bunny until a couple weeks ago, except that his name is everywhere when it comes to the award shows. I tried to study up a little bit last week and listen to some of his music, and it sounds like it sounds like music that you hear when you go to a Mexican restaurant. So I was like, this is cool. It sounds good. I don't understand anything that he's saying.
So it's in Spanish.
Oh yeah, it's all in Spanish. He's Puerto Rican, of course. He's not Mexican.
I knew that.
But I guess Apple Music has this translator on there too now, so you can read the lyrics in English as he sings them in Spanish. And it's just the same old pop crap that you expect from any other pop song, right? There's no. I'm sure he has some political messaging in there, but for the most part, it's about partying and ladies, and mm-hmm. I like that his music makes the ladies shake their rears. That's also a cool part of it, but it is weird to watch the Super Bowl and not watch the Super Bowl and the halftime performance and not understand a single word that's being sung, because the Super Bowl is an American institution,
yeah,
right?
That's the virtue signaling right there for sure.
Well, I know the entire point of it is to draw in as many people as you possibly can to watch it, because that leads to higher advertising dollars, which are in the Super Bowl already at a premium. But that's the big deal, right? For NBC, they're paying I don't know how many billions of dollars for the rights to the Super Bowl. So they want to at least make that money back in the advertising. And the way you bring more people in is not by having a halftime show that your normal Sunday NFL fans want to watch. It's about putting a halftime show on that everyone or people that wouldn't necessarily turn the game on would be willing to tune into.
Well, the point is that the people that would normally not watch a football game, many of them are watching the Super Bowl because mm-hmm. what it is. Like, can you talk about the gatherings where people get together 20 at a house or something like that? There's the party. There's an aspect of this whole thing that's got nothing to do with football, but it's got to do with socially gathering and maybe exchanging political views when you're there. That's another reason that maybe we wouldn't want to have a bunch of people over to the place for a Super Bowl halftime show because it could devolve into something like that.
But that they, I guess they accomplished what they were after. But I was, I'm just saying the fact that everything was in Spanish, that's less than a subtle sign or subtle hint at people who are entering this country.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah, I'd say so. Pretty big audience for that. That's in America already.
Yeah.
I the most notable thing to me was just the set that they had. I mean, it was insane what all they were able to get out there on the field for his set, which I thought was cooler looking than some we've seen in the past. But yeah, it would have been nice to be able to sing along to one of the songs. The only reason I did not.
Well, you could have brushed up on the music enough where you could have at least hummed along with the song.
Yeah, I could have just hummed along, but
you know, you could have been. Appreciative enough of a certain tune or so, yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting for them to do Tequila, you know, but they didn't make it to that.
Okay, I don't think that was in the set list.
I would have flipped it to the Kid Rock one. I'm planning on watching it later, so I'll watch it a little bit later today, but I've already seen Kid Rock in concert like four times. I've seen Brantley Gilbert a couple times. I don't know if I've seen Lee Bryce.
I saw Lee Bryce here in town. We had an event where he was a younger artist, maybe 20 years ago, and he played for free somewhere out on Airport Boulevard.
So I like all those dudes. I guess it was a great American message, but didn't have the time to flip it over and flip it back in time.
Lee Bryce, South Georgia kid who played football at Clemson. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, played football at Clemson.
What did he make in NIL money back then?
Look, years into his career, he was out on Airport Boulevard playing for us, and he didn't make any money that night. It's 8:51 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We'll line up the Jeff Poor Show, which is on the way. We'll do that next.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. If you've got a task, you want to turn it over to somebody that you trust for sure when it comes to real estate, Jason Walker, that's the man right there. And I say that more of a humble way because Jason's really a very humble guy, but he has done it all. He's built, he's sold real estate. He has built some of the most beautiful homes in Baldwin County. He's done a lot for locals. He is local. And their office is right there in Old Town Daphne. Back to that task, that would be if you own waterfront property. Jason from Jason Homes can help you relax and enjoy your property to the fullest. They've got a waterfront property care service. He takes care of all the maintenance. And if you own on the waterfront, you know there is more. The way the weather can wear down your property on the waterfront. But we're talking about everything from HVAC generators, boat lifts, carpentry, painting, electrical work, even plumbing and roofing, power wash, even lawn care. Consolidated billing, so that won't be confusing. All the contractors, Jason takes care of all of that. You just enjoy your property, and the property value never goes down either. That's a win-win right there. Fully licensed and insured for your peace of mind, call the man that I trust. You should too. You will. Call Jason for pricing and available packages at 251-379-4444. Visit jasonhomes.com.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, State Representative Shane Stringer in hour number one. Dale Jackson with WVNN joins Jeff in hour two. And AL6 GOP candidate Case Dixon joins Jeff in hour number three. To the text line as we wrap things up, Sean says, I thought Trump was shutting down the Department of Education. I think he thought he was, too. That ended up not happening. That, you know, they wanted to pass a lot of that down to the states
Let
the states do their thing. But courts got in the way. And then Congress really not letting it happen. I think actually in the funding bill earlier this month, they added to the discretionary spending for the education department.
Yeah, so that was the one thing where Congress kind of lost their mind on the idea of abolishing the Department of Education. That was really a
they didn't like
there.
It.
Yeah,
Martin says absolutely the worst Super Bowl ever, especially the halftime show. Shane says it was live on TBN Trinity Broadcast Network, talking about the Turning Point halftime. Jerry says nothing American about the NFL guys. Well, I mean, I saw 106. Elite American athletes out there yesterday playing in the NFL, and a lot of Americans in the stands. So,
including two Mobilians.
But I understand your point, yeah, that the NFL, I just, they'd worked their, they'd earned back a lot of the losses that I think the Kaepernick and that era between 2019 and 2022, they'd earned back a lot of their viewers, and
yeah.
I don't think the Bad Bunny selection necessarily helped them yesterday.
No.
Josh says, I did not watch the game, but I certainly tuned in to TBN to watch the All-American Halftime Show. It was fantastic. Let's see. Angry Patriot asking if we saw the fake AI video of Bad Bunny burning the U.S. flag. Yes, I did see that, and it did trick me for a little bit there. I had to look it up to see if that was real. And then Butterknife, yeah, says, y'all are correct. Who has ever heard of young people protesting? This must be something new. Butterknife, very excited that the protest, in his words, was successful from the students in Indivisible. I'd say it was not successful. They just went to another school. Your school lost out. Murphy.
Thank you, Butter. We appreciate your comments, Butterknife. It's 8:59, and we're gone.